Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. As you know, President Trump has promised since day one that he had the back of every American farmer and rancher. And today, this announcement is a fulfillment of that promise. Today, we're formally announcing that the Trump administration will be taking several actions to assist farmers in response to the trade damage caused by the illegal retaliatory tariffs that have been imposed on the United States in just recent months. This obviously is a short-term solution that will give President Trump time to work on a long-term trade policy and deal to benefit agriculture, as well as all sectors of the American economy. Unfortunately, America's hardworking agricultural producers have been treated fairly by illegal trading practices by China and other nations for a while and have taken a disproportionate hit when it comes to illegal retaliatory tariffs. For decades, China has engaged in unfair trade practices and engaged in the forced transfer or outright theft of intellectual property. So it's clear to everyone that President Trump has gotten China's attention like never before. The programs we're announcing today are a firm statement that other nations cannot bully our agricultural producers to force the United States to cave in. At every step along the way during these recent trade disruptions, it's important to highlight that the correct action from other nations would be to stop their bad behavior, not to retaliate with illegal tariffs. As we made clear today, this administration will not stand by while our hardworking agricultural producers bear the brunt of unfriendly and illegal tariffs enacted by foreign nations. To that end, the Department of Agriculture will be authorizing up to $12 billion in programs, which is directly in line with the estimated $11 billion impact of illegal tariffs on agriculture. These programs will help agricultural producers meet the cost of disrupted markets resulting from the illegal retaliation. The first program, called the Market Facilitation Program, will provide payments incrementally to soybeans, sorghum, corn, wheat, cotton, dairy, and hog producers to help manage disruptive markets, deal with commodity surplus, and expand new markets. The second program, called the Food Purchase and Distribution Program, will purchase the surplus of affected commodities like fruits, nuts, rice, legumes, beef, pork, milk for distribution to food banks, and other nutritious programs. The third and final program will be the Trade Promotion Program to assist, in conjunction with the private sector, in developing new export markets on behalf of producers. All of these programs are currently authorized under the Commodity Credit Corporation Charter Act, better known as the CCC, and will be administered by the USDA, as well as other options that USDA may employ as well. Again, it's important to note that this is a short-term solution that will give President Trump and his administration time to work on long-term trade deals to benefit agriculture and all sectors of the American economy. I appreciate you being with us today. And for any details and questions, I'm going to turn it over to USDA's chief economist, Dr. Rob Johansen, who will walk through these three programs. Dr. Johansen.
Thank you, Mr. Secretary. As the Secretary pointed out, this program is intended to offset the trade damage that we've seen facing our farmers in a number of commodities. There's three tranches to this program. So let's just start with the first one. As the Secretary pointed out, we've got a market facilitation program, and that's going to provide payments directly to producers of soybeans, sorghum, corn, wheat, cotton, dairy, and hogs. We've got another program that's called the Food Purchase and Distribution Program, and that's going to seek to go out and purchase additional surplus that we're seeing as a result of this these illegal tariff actions. For commodities like fruits, nuts, rice, legumes, beef, pork, and milk for distribution to our nutrition programs and food banks. And lastly, as the Secretary pointed out, we're looking to extend and find new markets, develop new markets out there with the assistance of the private sector. And that will not just be targeted to one commodity or another. It's going to be essentially looking to build our markets globally and domestically. So with that, I will also mention that we have some experts in the room here that can help answer some particular questions on the details of these programs. We've got Undersecretary Greg Ibaugh here. We've got Jason Heffenmeister, Senior Trade Advisor for the Secretary, as well as Brad Carman here, Senior Official from FSA, that can talk to, and FPAC, to talk about how this will work from the county perspective with respect to farmers coming in and applying for the program.
Thank you, Rob. And we now open the phone lines for reporters and members of the media only wishing to ask a question of any or all of our distinguished panel. And to do so, please press star 1 on your telephone touch tone pad. Again, our panel includes Undersecretary for Marketing and Regulatory Affairs Greg Ibaugh, Chief Economist Rob Johansson, USDA's Trade Counsel to the Secretary Jason Heffenmeister, and Assistant Deputy Administrator for Farm Programs Brad Carman. Let's go to the phone lines with the first call of the day, first question of the day. That belongs to Alan Berga of Bloomberg News. Alan, good afternoon.
Yes, I'm wondering two things. One is, how could this interact with a farm bill that could be passed this fall? And second, a lot of Republican lawmakers and from farm states are saying this is not going to be adequate for solving farmers' problems. They need trade deals.
Yeah, on the trade side, this is Jason Heffenmeister. You know, I think that certainly that's the objective we're looking for. As the Secretary mentioned, the administration's action has brought new leverage to the table, and we are seeing countries getting more attention than ever in terms of addressing our trade concerns. And so that's certainly the objective here, is reform in foreign country policies. And we think this is a helpful tool for that.
This is Greg Ibaugh. I'm the Undersecretary for Marketing and Regulatory Programs. And, you know, what this will do is provide some hope to farmers and ranchers that there is the president and the secretary do have their back. We hope that it will allow time to conclude trade negotiations that will indeed open those markets and restart trade. Like the Secretary said, you know, we're hoping that other countries will see that we're serious now about trade negotiations and having time to have good trade deals in the future, and hope they will come to the table and negotiate in good faith so that we can move forward.
We now again go to the phone lines, and just this reminder for reporters and members of the media only, if you have a question for any of our panel members, please press star 1 on your telephone touch tone pad. Our next question of the day belongs to Vivian Salama of the Wall Street Journal. Vivian, good afternoon.
Hi there. Thanks for doing this call. So I just want to – there was a little bit of a backlog for some of us joining the call, so apologies if you addressed this at the beginning. What is the situation with congressional approval? Is that going to be required for this, or is that just going to – is this automatically going to take effect?
That's a great question, Vivian. This requires we will be providing congressional notification. It does not require congressional approval, and we've certainly provided outreach to Congress and let them know of the plan that we're undertaking today. Additional details will be forthcoming over the next couple weeks. But to your direct question, will congressional approval be required? No, this is taking advantage of existing authorities that we have under the CCC Charter Act, Section 5.
That's USDA Chief Economist Rob Johansson, a member of our panel today, which includes Undersecretary for Marketing and Regulatory Affairs Greg Ibaugh, USDA's Trade Counsel to the Secretary Jason Heffenmeister, and Assistant Deputy Administrator for Farm Programs Brad Carman. Back to the phone lines we go. Let's go to Mark Weinraub of Reuters. Mark, good afternoon. Mark, are you there on the phone lines? Let's switch gears then and go to our next question, or caller, I should say, Chris Clayton of DTN. Chris, good afternoon.
Thank you for taking my question. I was wondering, can somebody explain how payments to individual farmers will be calculated, and when would some sort of sign-up begin and payments be distributed?
Hi, Chris. This is Rob, and I'll turn it over to Brad in just a second. We've calculated what the damage is to producers facing these illegal tariff actions. We are working out the specific details, and we'll be publishing that as part of a rulemaking action in a couple weeks. And that will have our estimated rates, as the Secretary mentioned. This will be playing out over time, and we do look to allowing the administration to successfully negotiate a deal here with our trading partners. And so the program will be flexible to allow that.
Hi, this is Brad Carman, Deputy Administrator for Farm Programs and Farm Service Agency. So before we start sign up, we have a little homework to do. You know, we have to do Federal Register documents, handbooks, software training. So software won't, training, sorry. Sign up won't start immediately. Don't have a date on that yet. But it'll be fairly simple sign up. We anticipate a simple sign up. Basically for 2018, for the crops that the Secretary mentioned, producers will tell us the production, actually what they actually produced in 2018. We'll multiply it times a payment rate and give them our payment based on that formula.
And back to the phone lines we go. Our next question of the day belongs to Chuck Abbott of the Food and Environment Reporting Network. Chuck, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, and thank you for arranging this briefing. It sounds as if this has been hurried into action, and I'm wondering what prompted USDA to move this so quickly, considering the Secretary has talked about Labor Day as being the decision day for deciding whether to do some sort of assistance. Does this mean that trade negotiations are going worse than people have recognized in public?
This is Greg Iba, Undersecretary for Marketing and Regulatory Programs. And actually, we've been working on and analyzing options here at USDA since about April when President Trump asked Secretary Perdue to start looking at what kind of mitigation we might be able to roll out at USDA. We're able to work as a one USDA team to put together what we feel is a great three different component plan that will be able to address some of our agricultural producers' immediate concerns. And so since we had a good plan in place, we decided to go ahead and make the announcement so farmers and ranchers would understand that USDA, Secretary Perdue and the President had made good on their promise to let the not to have farmers and ranchers at the tip of the spear. You know, we are obviously this is just a broad framework. We still have more details that will be rolled out at that Labor Day time frame, and Labor Day will actually is kind of what we're terming as the time when these programs will actually kick in. And so I think that's consistent with the Secretary's comments that he was shooting for Labor Day.
This reminder to reporters and members of the media wishing to ask a question of any one of our distinguished panel, please press star one on your telephone touch-tone pad. Kayla Tosh of CNBC joins us now with the next question of the day. Kayla, good afternoon. Kayla, are you there? We'll move up the ladder, and the next question belongs to Jessica Domel of the Texas Farm Bureau Radio Network. Jessica, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Thank you. Are all three of the programs going to be open to all crops and potentially livestock as well, or are there some programs that will not be available to certain crops or commodities or livestock?
Hi there. This is Rob Johansson, and I'll run through the programs again and what we're thinking. So the program that's going to be providing payments to producers is going to target farmers that grow soybeans, sorghum, corn, wheat, cotton, dairymen, as well as hog producers. For the food purchase and distribution program, obviously we're going to be looking to purchase food commodities that are able to be distributed through our food banks and other nutrition programs, and that's going to be mainly fruit, nuts, rice, legumes, in addition to some meat categories like beef, pork, as well as some dairy components as well. And then the trade promotion program will be broadly targeted to all commodities. We're looking to build markets both domestically as well as internationally, and that will be certainly a process by which commodity groups come in and just provide a proposal, and that will be discussed by TFAA. And maybe I can ask Jason to provide a little bit more detail on that.
Sure. To answer your question here, nearly all sectors of U.S. agriculture are being affected in some way by these retaliatory actions. And so we want to find alternative customers across the board for them. So this should be a broad-based program.
You just heard from two of our panel members, senior Agriculture Department officials, Chief Economist Rob Johansson and USDA's Trade Counsel to the Secretary Jason Hafemeister. Also joining us this afternoon, Undersecretary for Marketing and Regulatory Affairs Greg Ibaugh, as well as the Assistant Deputy Administrator for Farm Programs Brad Carman, and all of you on the phone lines and in the queue wishing to ask a question of our panel. That includes our next question asker. That would be Larry Dreiling of High Plains Journal. Larry, good afternoon.
Thanks, gentlemen, for setting this up. When you're looking at all these different crops and meat foodstuffs, do you have an estimation of how much each of these commodities are going to be taken care of in that respect? Do you have a breakdown of those numbers of those particular items, financial?
This is Greg Ibaugh, the Undersecretary for Marketing and Regulatory Programs.
And
yes, thank you. And while we're have some parameters in mind and know that direct payments on some of those commodities that Rob mentioned that are directly impacted or the main target of the illegal tariffs that have been put in place by countries that haven't been willing to negotiate in good faith with us. There are other commodities that are part of the purchase that we'll also look to spread those out. But the main brunt of this, the main investment will be in those payments that are going to be made directly to the soybean, sorghum, corn, wheat, cotton, dairy, and hog producers.
Back to the phone lines we go, and the next question of the day belongs to Sean Donnan of Financial Times. Sean, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Thanks so much for doing this call. Could you just to follow up on that question, could you just give us a few more details on this $12 billion figure, how it breaks down between direct payments, purchases of commodities, and the trade efforts? And secondly, that $12 billion figure, how long is that? Does that cover? Does that give you a year of cover? Does that give you 6 months of cover? Is there any chance that that might be expanded if these trade negotiations take longer than you expected?
So, Sean, that's a great question. I think, as Undersecretary Ibaugh pointed out, we've had some broad parameters about the size of these programs. We're still working out some of the specifics on them. But I think it's fair to say that soybeans is likely the largest sector affected, and as we pointed out, the market facilitation programs are likely going to have the majority of the resources to help offset those damages as a result. The question that you had secondly about timing on this, we're looking at this being, as the Secretary pointed out earlier in his comments, this is a short-term bridge to help the president successfully negotiate these deals. We don't expect this to persist into another year at all. This is a one-time program. That being said, some of these programs that we mentioned on here, for example, the food purchases as well as the trade promotion program, will take some time to develop and roll out. We expect those will occur over the space of this coming year. The market facilitation program, as Brad Carman mentioned a second ago, and maybe he can fill you a little more of the details in here, that will be able to be distributed once we know what final harvest is for those commodities.
Correct. This is Brad Carman. So we're going to allow producers, we're talking about a September sign-up, and we'll go probably for many months, so producers will have time to visit the FSA County office. And in order to run this program, we need producers to harvest their crops. So if producers that harvest their crops, like wheat, for example, is on the list, many of those producers have harvested already. They may be able to get their payment earlier than somebody like corn or soybeans who doesn't harvest till October. So, but we need producers to harvest to know their production before we can calculate a payment.
And just a reminder for reporters and members of the media, if you have a question for any of our distinguished panel, please press star one on your telephone touch tone pad. The honor of the next question of the day belongs to Bill Thompson of AgriPulse. Bill, good afternoon.
Yeah, good afternoon. I just want to make sure that we're talking about both Section 232 and Section 301. And if either of these are resolved, say there's a resolution with Europe and they lift their tariffs, or there's a resolution with Mexico and they lift their tariffs, would this program be incrementally decreased? Or conversely, if there are new tariffs from other countries, would they be increased?
This is Greg Ibaugh, Undersecretary for Marketing and Regulatory Programs. So the calculations that we have been looking at and the considerations that we have been making as we design the three programs, the Market Facilitation Program, the Food Purchase and Distribution Program, and the Trade Promotion Program, are based on the current trade conditions that are in place, as well as looking at the impact that's had on today's prices. You know, again, this is a short-term program. We're hoping that as a result of this program, farmers and ranchers can address some of the immediate financial stress that they may be under. It will also allow an opportunity for farmers and ranchers to work with us as we conclude trade negotiations with countries that have been unwilling to come to the table and negotiate in good faith with us.
And let me just add, too, that the programs are intended to help producers cope with these essentially the unexpected marketing conditions that they're facing right now, that we know that they're going to have to look for new buyers. They're going to have to incur additional costs of storage handling. We've seen already stories about that in the news, and we've heard from our producers on that effect. So this is to help offset sort of the disruption that's caused by these retaliatory tariffs that are causing producers to have to find new markets for their products and to incur those additional adjustment costs.
To use a baseball analogy, Jeff Nelly of the Cromwell Ag Network is on deck, but at bat with the next question is Brett Fortnum of Inside U.S. Trade. Brett, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Thanks very much for holding the call. I was wondering, how would these programs be classified under the World Trade Organization? Would they be classified as Amber Box because of some of the direct payments? Does this in any way threaten the U.S. against running up against its $19.1 billion cap for AMS?
Yeah, this is Jason Hafmeister again on trade. You know, the way the WTO works is a little bit complicated on these classification and notification methodologies. There's different criteria, different buckets we got to put these in. So we are going to have to make a qualitative assessment of these programs against the rules, and then we're going to have to make some calculation methodologies to see how they add up. And that's going to certainly take a while. But I think you can be confident that as we've looked at these programs, looked at our numbers, we should be below our ceiling for trade-distorting domestic support. You know, that's a $19.1 billion ceiling. Right now, we're running at less than $5 billion in the amount that is reported there. So I think we're in pretty good shape in keeping this within the rules.
Now joining us with the next question of the day, Jeff Nally of the Cromwell Ag Network. Jeff, good afternoon. Hello, Jeff. Let's switch gears. The next caller of the day with the question belongs to Caitlin Dewey of the Washington Post. Caitlin, good afternoon.
On the characterization we've seen emerge this morning that this is essentially a government bailout for farmers?
So, Caitlin, you wasn't quite sure what your question was.
We've seen a number of critics of these programs comment this morning that this is essentially a government bailout for the farm sector. I'm wondering if you could respond to that characterization.
Well, I certainly haven't seen those characterizations, but we've been pretty busy here. So I would say, as the Secretary did, that this is providing relief to U.S. farmers as they face unwarranted trade retaliation. We know that there's a good amount, 11% or more of employment in the U.S. is coming from agriculture and agricultural industries. That includes a lot of food manufacturers. We know that a lot of producers are facing tough times with respect to farm income. And we know that producers are facing a lot of damage from these retaliatory impacts that they weren't planning for, they weren't expecting. They're incurring a lot of additional costs in terms of how they're going to market their commodity, how they're going to find new homes for selling their soybeans. And these programs, again, as the Secretary pointed out, are a bridge, a short-term relief to get producers to give to a successful trade negotiation, to a new market, and to help give them time to develop those new markets. So I don't know if that's the kind of response you're looking for, but certainly I would say that these programs are being deliberately put together in order to allow us to respond to these unwarranted trade retaliations.
And the honor of the final question of the day belongs to Jacob Bungie of Dow Jones. Jacob, good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon, and thanks for taking all of these questions here. I wanted to get any sense of if or how the programs could be accessed or if they can be accessed at all by people other than crop and livestock producers. And I'm thinking here of the folks that sell products and services to farmers who, you know, would feel sort of a second-hand effect of the tariffs, less money flowing into the farm economy, lower prices, and so on. Is there going to be any relief for the people that sell hog confinements, for instance, or provide other sorts of services to these farmers?
Well, this is Greg Ibaugh, Undersecretary for Marketing and Regulatory Programs. And as a farmer myself and I come from a rural state, Nebraska, you know, I can assure you that as we improve the economic conditions of our nation's farmers and ranchers, we're, as a community, we're notorious to reinvest those funds back into our communities and purchase goods and services that allow us to have continuing and viable farm operations. So the indirect and ripple effect of these investments will be seen in that way. You know, on the food purchase and distribution program, the way that will work is we will look for to advertise to purchase commodities and foodstuffs that are usable in our feeding programs and at food banks. And definitely food processors will be part of that chain to be able to deliver those foodstuffs in usable quantities and a usable format for those that distribution network. So there will be a benefit on that side as well. So the benefits from this program, I think, flow not only back into the farm suppliers, but they flow forward into those companies and businesses that process and distribute the goods that farmers and ranchers produce.